What we've been talking about is all these different beads. Now we're going to give you the necklace, the chain upon which to thread all of them. And that is the funnel. The funnel is exactly what you imagine it to be, because it's a pretty self-explanatory word, which is how you start with a very big pool of people, and then it self-selects and narrows into your ideal customer, so that the only ones who are left at the end of the funnel are those who are ready and willing and the right ones to purchase from you. That's why we do all of this. It's just so that we can get to that buying moment.
Right. So to me, it feels like the funnel helps qualify, educate, excite your prospects in the process of giving them things and letting them get familiar with what you're offering and even educating them. Yeah?
Absolutely. And then it also lets them know that there is going to be an opportunity to purchase, so they can get mentally prepared for that and evaluate before they even see the purchase. For example, if you're selling an event, that's obvious. It's tickets will go on sale in 1 week, where you're telling them that they're going to get set up to buy without actually asking them to make the purchase, so that they have the time to think about that and don't feel like they're making an impulsive decision.
You know what I call that?
What?
Priming the pump.
Mm-hmm. Priming the pump.
You're priming the pump. You're, you know, greasing the skids. You're getting their mind in that mindset to purchase.
And even better than that, when it's a funnel, you can set this up so that it's more automated, where it's based on how long it's been that person has been a part of your funnel versus it being May versus June. Like, you can do it over and over again. You have a certain action and you get the same response. That's what's hard, because marketing feels risky. You could put when we did spray and pray tactics, you've no idea how much you're going to get back.
So spray and pray actually originated from direct marketing, right? With like literally you're spraying your postcards out to say 1 million people and hoping you might get 100 people to respond. And from there, maybe you get one client. So it would take 1 million postcards to get one client. I'm just making this up.
Yep.
But just so people understand, right? And so then now you can do that with intelligence. The predictability piece is amazing and awesome. You can't ever set it and forget it. That's where I'm going, right? Like, I mean, you've got to continually look at it and not necessarily tweak it by the hour, but what can you say about, like, you know, once you've like kind of set up your funnels and your systems, then what?
Well, you can get to a point where you set it up and it will continue to work for a period of time. And I have seen these work for 6 months or maybe even a year from some friends who I've watched their businesses closely.
That's very interesting and appealing, because then you can go off and do like other things. How genius.
But here's the challenge is that they do oftentimes break, and you can't predict when or why that's going to happen.
I think when you say break, you're not talking about a piece of technology, are you?
No, I'm talking about your sequence that allows you to produce marketing and sales in a predictable way.
Of course. So then tell what would break.
1 month you're making $40,000 a month, the next month you're making $40,000 a month, the next month you're making $40,000 a month, and then you just made $3,000.
So you just said the outcome. I'm asking you what broke.
The predictability of the patterns in your funnel, the way in which you set up your chain of command. So someone signs up to hear a podcast, for example, and then they get an email that teaches them about growth hacking, and then they get 5 templates, and then they want to sign up for a course. You set up a funnel of certain sequence behaviors, and once you get it to work, it can work for months and months and months, where you have a predictable amount of sales as a result of that funnel being set up.
I think the number one thing, not to make this about me, but I think that what, like, my inherent like just propensity towards being a decent marketer is that I take a bunch of data and I churn it here, and then I spit it out in ways that most people can hopefully understand. And so that's what's happening when I'm doing this. And then I'm like, okay, well, tell me more about that. It's really just so people can wrap their heads around it. And if it doesn't all work, fine. And I do think, again, there's some naturalness to this. Like, somebody might be listening to you and going, I get it. Whoops, I don't get it. God darn it. This is a lot. And then I go, Amanda, you lost me on this. And they're like, oh, I love when Jen like makes her, you know, translate or whatever, right? It's okay that it happens. I just think that like we need to embrace that process.
Well, if they've taken B school, you'll see after this still might even be too rudimentary for them. That's what I want to make sure to not dumb it down so much, or else they're going to be like, this isn't advanced. This is stuff I already know.
I think that the way that we're going to be talking about it and giving context to it and examples are king. Mm-hmm. Like you just said, okay, so I had this, it was working, and then it didn't, right? Mm-hmm. And That's a conundrum for even expert marketers. Why did it stop working? You know, and I do think that we need to back up, and I'll go back into movement stuff and everything. But things that, you know, conversations that happened between us organically are probably very interesting to your advanced B-schoolers.
Yeah, actually, I mean, that's one of my, I've loved to keep putting that into presentations over the years, how when you actually have a whole YouTube video on this, all the ways in which you know your marketing sequence is working, and then, well, at least what I experienced over the years was that sometimes it doesn't work anymore, and you're not entirely sure why, but you can be sure that at a certain point it's no longer going to work. So you have to be in this continuous learning environment of all these growth hacking tactics. I think that, you know, people figure out a cool way to grow, and then eventually enough people catch on that the consumer base no longer responds the same way that they did. I'm making this up.
Yeah, I mean, it's just called fatigue.
Yep. Or saturation. Exactly. And so you need to constantly have a fresh basket of tactics to implement, because you can count on the fact that things that you've been doing that have been working for a long time no longer work.
Exactly. And I think that is relevant for people that might have known that, to also be reminded of that. I think that's why you've got multiple funnels and campaigns. I think that's why they, you know, you could never put all your marketing eggs into one basket, even if it looks like you have hit pay dirt or found the holy grail. You know, you've always got to be running stuff to test in the background to know what's up next. And I think that's a really good point.
I oftentimes are very worried about businesses that over-optimize towards Facebook ads, because in the beginning, they were really, really powerful because of the micro-targeting ability and because of the content marketing nature of it.
Right.
They become, not only they become so popular, but they appear to be more efficient than other channels, so much that organizations, movements, political campaigns, companies, their entire sales funnel becomes dependent on Facebook. Facebook could change their algorithm at any minute and your entire business could be wiped out. That's really dangerous.
Good point. Yep. Diversify just like you would in your portfolio. Tell me how you became interested in this quote unquote growth hacking.
I became interested in it. You know, my mom was a computer programmer since 1964.
Oh my goodness. I did not know that.
And she started teaching me how to write code in like 1985. We were a really nerdy household.
Nerdy and also like pro female. I mean, like you guys didn't let that's the conventional wisdom of what girls were supposed to do stop you. I love that.
Well, she was divorced and needed to go back to work. So she went back and got her MBA in tech in 1985. And that was what spurred all of this. Otherwise, no, she would have been very happy just being mom. She did not choose that life. She did it out of necessity. As a result of the fact that I was raised by a single mom, I was alone a lot. And one of the ways in which I entertained myself was video games. So if you want to know what a child who spent 10 hours a day in front of video games turns into, you can meet me and make your own assessment.
Everybody's like, kid, get off that game.
Exactly. Whatever she's doing, don't do it. I think of growth hacking like what I was doing 10 hours a day with video games, which is the only way you win at a video game is if you figure out all the things that aren't obvious when you first start playing something. Either you have to talk to your friends, or you have to learn the tricks that they built in, or the ways to win the game, because there's so much. The whole point of the game is it's set up that you lose. Otherwise, there's nothing to do.
Yeah, like little hacks, right? Like
little hacks. Like where do you position the turtle so that right when the big rain of gold coins comes down, like the turtle gets all of the gold coins. Or
is that like for real? Is that a game?
I mean, I was kind of referencing Super Mario, but not really.
See, knew it.
Mm-hmm. And that's how I experience building digital marketing campaigns, is you're trying to get gold coins, right? It's a very similar kind of outcome, and it's very metrics oriented. You get to level up and start at the base level, set a goal, figure out how to navigate, but instead with a controller, you're doing with your keyboard, and you're doing with email, and you're doing with Twitter. But it's ultimately very similar to what I learned to do as a child and frankly find really fun and satisfying.
And it's so interesting because you come at it from super geek perspective and I come at it from much more of that like kind of brand building perspective. And, you know, like I think that's why we're kind of working together, is because you need both. Would you agree?
You absolutely need both. And that's why I'm so excited that you are my partner, is because I am lacking in a lot of that brand positioning, messaging, an understanding of how you put something forward so that people want gravitate toward it. And growth hacking and digital marketing are very limited. Let's just say they're so much more viable and exciting and successful when we have what you bring to the table. And that's why our partnership is so special to me.
Does everybody note how I like teed myself up for looking super relevant?
It's not just a funnel, it's an automated funnel. Because you know, I've been running digital agencies for years too, anywhere from 300,000 a year up to 10 million a year in revenue. And the traditional agency model or any consulting model is that you write proposals and you send those proposals out to prospects. And then you hope that you win somewhere between 10% and 25% of the proposals that you put out. What's exciting about this is you don't actually have to do the proposal writing. You can package your services and then enable your customers to find you. So it's a lot less arduous, it's a lot less time consuming, and a lot more scalable because you don't have to throw out 80% of the work that you're doing.
Right. And you're shifting things from an, you know, from what used to be more of like a human resource dependent piece of the puzzle to something that could be automated. And again, from a visual standpoint, I love the kind of idea of like, you know, taking your coins, dropping them all into the funnel, they come down and, you know, and it's like, okay, so then you get that big kahuna customer at the end, but from the profit, you got to feed it back into the funnel and do it again next time better. Right. And that's where your profit margins grow. So I want to kind of get back to our raison d'etre, which is our reason of being here today and here in the world, which is both you and I were able to build movements. And that is one of those just like kind of amorphous, like, okay, it's very hard to, you know, unpack how to do that and give some sort of, you know, tactical, you know, 17 steps to building a movement. And we're going to try. I think our listeners are also interested in doing something that is meaningful and having people join that movement, right? So you and I are both in love with, you know, digital marketing and growth hacking and just the whole idea of, you know, how to bring people into our fold. How do you think that this concept of digital marketing and growth hacking appeals to or relates to building your movement?
Well, when you talk about building a movement, it's really about shifting the consciousness or shifting the behaviors of an entire population of people versus simply trying to sell a product and make money for a business. When I think about a movement, it's a leader, possibly that's you who's listening to this, is someone who's looking out at the world and has a vision and says, I see the world would be a much better place if more people did this, but practically no one is doing that. So I want to start a movement to empower people to change so that we can have a better world that we collectively envision. So I'm interested in this material about growth hacking because it's not just about how you build your business, but how you create a social impact or a social change that you envision where you're utilizing the power and rapid growth of digital technologies in order to reach more people, sign more people up, raise more money, and create a collective conversation that would have been a lot harder to do before the internet. If you would like to know how to get started, you should send an email to hello@hireyou.com and you will get an automated response that includes some templates that you can download, Q&As that you can answer, spreadsheets that'll help you plot out what it is you're trying to do.
If you have any questions, you have any feedback, comments, you want to suggest some topics for the future, or you want to just tell us that either we rock or we're ridiculous, bring it on. Send us an email to hello@hireyou.com.